I'm Jenny Atiyah, and this is ThoughtCast. I grabbed a quick interview with author Kevin Smokler at the Harvard Bookstore just before he delivered his talk on Bookmark Now, Writing in Unreaderly Times. For more info, check out thoughtcast.org. So, Kevin, tell me about that photo on your website. Who is the Kevin on the site? Who are you?
Are you talking about the photo where I'm sort of looking coquettishly on the bookshelf like this, or the one where I'm sitting, you know, with my arms stretched out?
Well, the one that I actually was thinking about was the coquettish one.
That was taken in the Booksmith in San Francisco, which is my home, my neighborhood bookstore. And I actually told them beforehand, I really want my author photo taken here with books and at the place, you know, that I sort of most closely associate geographically with books. And they said, great, go ahead, do it here. And this was also before my tour was booked, so I was kind of assuring myself a spot there to do a reading. And that photo, the reason that's my favorite one is a couple of reasons. One, it has books in it without it looking posed. And two, it hides my chin, which I'm kind of sensitive about.
Certainly not sensitive enough to not mention it at this very moment.
No, not at all, not at all. So when you see me, I have a big scar on my chin from when I was a kid. So.
Well, now I'm going to have to look.
There you can look. You can't hear me in the microphone when I hold my chin up. But yeah, so I really like that picture, and I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. And but the picture of me with my arms stretched out, surrounded by books, is the one that Basic put in their catalog, and the one my editor called the I Am Lord of the Books picture. So.
Yes, and in many ways you are. Your book has done extremely well, review-wise and attention-wise. The blogosphere, of course, is behind you in all of this.
Thus far, yes. I'm incredibly grateful from the support from everyone, and particularly from the blogosphere, from my friends online who I've known for years and years and years. And finally, I I've been bothering them incessantly. They've been hearing about this book for the last 2 years.
Your book is in many ways a refutation to the concept that literary reading is in decline. Uh-huh. How do you describe and define literary reading?
I don't generally make that distinction, and I think Bookmark Now is more about how reading as a pastime, as a way we choose to spend our time in a media overloaded 21st century, is not going away. The NEA's Reading at Risk report makes the distinction of what is literary reading, and they defined it pretty much as anything fictional, novels, poetry, plays, short stories. The problem with that distinction is it leaves out, say, graphic novels. So I think you'd be hard-pressed to call Mouse, to not call Mouse literary, or Jimmy Corrigan's Smartest Boy in the World. It also leaves out narrative nonfiction journalism. I think you'd be hard-pressed to not call Joan Didion or John McPhee or Joseph Mitchell literature.
The part that catches me, though, is the word literary as somewhat of a status symbol, somewhat of an elitist phrase, which I have a feeling is what you don't like about that phrase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In a lot of ways, it's the distinction publishing has to make for sales and marketing purposes. You know, what is a book you put in the fiction aisle of a prestigious independent bookstore, and what is a book you sell at Walmart? And that's a distinction. That's a business distinction that I don't work in publishing. I guess needs to be made, but it's one that, unfortunately, we as authors can get ourselves tangled up in too often, and I don't think it serves us very well.
I'm wondering, though, because it's my impression, I don't know exactly how to say this delicately, that the reading that goes on is not necessarily of value. I'm curious how you define, how you describe who's doing the reading and what they're reading, and does it matter to you?
I guess I'm not sure what you mean by of value. To me, people who elect, I don't question the motives. I don't ask why are you reading and what is it doing for you. Not all reading is ennobling any more than all classical music is ennobling. No culture by itself is ennobling. It's entirely what you do with it and how you choose to let it affect you or not. If you are the kind of person who gets motivated by reading celebrity biographies, good for you. Great. I may not be that kind of person, but I'm not in a position to judge where your motivations for leading a full and rich life come from. And you know, some people elect to read to escape and watch movies to engage. Some people do it the opposite way. It's all it is an entirely subjective thing. But no culture is by itself ennobling. It is entirely about our relationship with it.
This whole issue of what is worthy, mm-hmm. you use the word ennobling, and I like that. Mm-hmm. I use the word value, which is insufficient. There are people who decide these things. Mm-hmm. You know who they are.
Sure.
New York Times book review editors.
I've been one of them before. I mean,
what do you think is the benefit of somebody saying, this is good, this meets our criteria, and this isn't?
I think the benefit, to me, criticism is a public service. And criticism is a way of saying, we as an institution have found this of value, or I as an individual have found this of value. Ideally, each of us would have a favorite critic who we think spoke for us and our tastes. And so if we're perhaps the kind of person who does not have time to, you know, wander idly in independent bookstores, and God forbid if we're not, you know, you have a quicker and easier way of finding out what's good and what's worth reading. And there's different kinds of people, and there's different kinds of institutions and things that can do that. Sometimes it's the clerk at your independent bookstore, sometimes it's the newspaper, sometimes it's your favorite blog, sometimes it's your library. But I think there's way, way too much culture out there for us to all try and figure out what we're looking for by ourselves, and nobody has time for that. So I'm a big believer in guides. And that's, to me, that's the public service that critics provide.
How do you guide your reading? I can imagine that you have quite a bit every day piling
up. Yeah, I do. The system, which sometimes works and often doesn't, is whatever book I'm reading now, to me, I apply a collection of descriptors to. This is a novel written by a woman who was in her 40s that was published 4 years ago and is about this subject. The next book I read can't be any of those things. And that keeps it as diverse as I would like. Now, every so often I get sideswiped and something else.
We just got sideswiped.
And on that note, our interview was terminated. Forthwith, Kevin Smokler and Paul Collins proceeded to deliver their talk at the Harvard Bookstore. To listen, click on the link marked Bookmark Now, The Talk,